Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, we are delighted to be on the air as a result of those who stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially in the battle for life and truth. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Mark. He's listening in Anderson, Missouri. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you, Hank?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'd heard a message up on the radio about the parable of the mustard seed, and this man described the mustard seed as the true church, and as it grew into the tree, that it became the false church. And I'd never heard it mentioned like that before. I'd always preached it that it, you know, and I'm a pastor, that you can grow into something great where people can, you know, find rest in you. I don't know how you see that, and I was wondering if you could kind of give some insight on that parable, and I'm going to get off here and listen to you.
Thank you. What is going on in the parable is fairly simple. On one hand, it's complex on the other, and I'll explain why in a moment, but the germ of what's going on is Jesus using the smallest of seeds familiar to Palestinian farmers to illustrate that while the kingdom of God began in obscurity, in the end it would fill the earth and it would endure forever. You'd never want to take a parable and try to make it walk on all fours, nor do you want to take a parable and read into the parable a meaning that was not intended by the author, particularly when the author of the parable in view is the crystal Christ himself, the paragon of virtue. And the truth communicated by the parables of Jesus was not evident to all who heard them, both in the immediate context, in other words, in the first century, nor to those who hear them in the 21st century. In fact, the listener has to have spiritual ears, and then they'll have some degree of understanding as to what's going on in the parables. Remember, the mission in the Old Testament was to open the eyes of Israel to the acts of God, and in the same way, the parables in the New Testament open the eyes of those in the first century, and again vicariously today, to truths that lead them to produce the fruit of righteousness. And Jesus takes the parables and he relates them to aspects of the kingdom, speaking of the Father through vivid stories. And through those stories, making it plain that we too are co-consummators in the kingdom. And that's precisely what's going on with the mustard seed. Because here you have just a few disciples at the time of Christ who will eventually become a great multitude, the full complement of God's people from every tongue and nation, from every place on planet Earth. But you also have a strand within the parable that is alluding to a deeper truth, and that is the faith that enters our heart, small when it enters, but eventually, as we partake of the means of grace available to us, that small seed takes over our being. So there are rich strands of truth in parables like this, but we must never read into the parables meanings that the parables were not intended to have. And again, this requires men in the pulpit, teachers in every walk of life to use discernment skills. How do you use those discernment skills? We learn to read the Bible in the sense in which it's intended. You partake of the graces of God, and as you do, you are filled or illumined with truths that Christ has communicated in His Word. But we never go beyond what He has communicated. Derek next in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Derek.
Yes. Hi, Hank. I'm so grateful for your program. I really enjoy it a lot. Yes, I have a question that has been bothering me for a while now. Yeah, it's all about the end time, right? Because the Bible said this gospel is going to be preached in every corner of the earth. Then comes the end, right? But what I want to understand, how is it going to be like for those that didn't hear the gospel and perish and die? So how are they going to be judged?
Well, the truth of Scripture is always the same, and that is that we are judged according to the light that we have given. And the truth that we embrace as Christians is that while God dwells in obscurity on the one hand, He also dwells in light. In other words, if we search after Jesus Christ, we always will receive the light that is necessary. And I've said this many times on the broadcast, but the quintessential example, I think, comes from Nicodemus. Nicodemus is asking Jesus Christ questions, and in the context, Jesus is telling them that light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The point being that the problem is never that there's not sufficient light. The problem is that men despise light, and because they despise light, they do not receive further light. As long as we respond to light, we will receive all the light that is required to have fellowship with God. Now, you go to the Old Testament, and there were saints like Abraham that do not have the kind of light, or did not have the kind of light that you do in the present. He saw, as it were, through a glass dimly. Today we have the requisite knowledge that he did not have, but he was a friend of God because he responded to the light that he had, and he worshiped the coming Christ through types and shadows. Now, Christ has come, and we worship the reality of Christ who has come. And again, we have, as believers, a light that is greater than all other lights, but it is because we've responded to other light. We've responded to the light of creation. We don't take the sun and make it our God, but we recognize that there was a God who created the sun. We also do not dismiss the light that God has placed on the tablet of our consciousness. We respond to it. And thus, when we do, we receive further light. So it's never the absence of light that damns, it's the despising of light that damns. And that's why Paul could say, when he was on Mars Hill, that from one man God created every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of them. Which is to say that if people respond to the light that they have been given, and that light is voluminous. Just imagine every single day we see God's created handiwork, and then we have that inner knowledge. If we respond to that, then God will reveal Himself. If we reject it, then we reject it because we don't want light. We despise light, as Jesus said to Nicodemus.
Thanks for the explanation. For me, I'm from Africa, right? And so, like, most of our people, they were illiterate. So, like, for me, I grabbed it, but I was just a little concerned about those with less education. Like, how can they really understand there is a goal? How would they really, like, what some of the things that would convince them, you know?
Sure.
But what about those that God did not talk to them?
But God does talk to them. That's the whole point, Derek. I mean, the point is that God does talk to them, and He speaks to them through the still small voice within, as well as the blazing lights above, as I just mentioned. But the other thing that we have to remember is that God in His grace sends to those who are open to the light that they have received, He sends in His grace further light. It could be a light that comes from you, Derek. It could be from a missionary. It could be from God's unique special revelation to someone, as Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That is not our duty to understand. All we can understand is that God, if we truly trust Him, that God will reveal Himself to those who pant after Him as a deer pants after the water brooks. That we can be certain of. Although we don't have all the answers right now, we can be certain that if people genuinely search after light, God is not going to throw obstacles in their way. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, available through the ministry. Be right back.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Back to the phone lines. Talk to David. He's listening in Fresno, California. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hi.
The question is, where does God come from? I know you explained it to a little girl before, and you asked her if she understood, and she said she did. She's only like 8 years old, and I thought, how does she understand that when I didn't even understand it? But anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, what I try to explain in this regard is that there's no necessity to say that someone created God, because unlike the universe, which according to modern science had a beginning, God is infinite and eternal, and therefore an infinite eternal being can logically be demonstrated to be the uncaused first cause. So the answer is no one created God. And to suppose that because the universe had a cause, the cause of the universe had to have a cause simply leads to a logical dead end, because an infinite regression of finite causes doesn't answer the question of source. It merely makes the effects more numerous. So simple logic, maybe that's the way to go. Simple logic dictates that the universe is not merely an illusion, it's real. It didn't spring from nothing, because we know nothing comes from nothing, nothing ever could. It didn't eternally exist, nobody believes that, because we know that the law of entropy itself predicts that a universe that had existed eternally would have died an eternity ago of a heat loss death. So it's not an illusion, it didn't spring out of nothing, it hasn't existed eternally. That leaves you with only one philosophically plausible answer, and that is the answer given in Scripture: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you take any other position, you're stuck with this. Nothing creates everything. Life comes from non-life, and the life that comes from non-life produces morals and ethics and everything else. So the idea of an uncaused first cause is the only thing that makes sense. And the name that we put to that is God. He is the infinite, eternal, but knowable God. He's ineffable, unknowable on one count, but he's also eminent. His graces and his person and work known through Jesus Christ.
I've gone to church quite a bit in my life, and I do believe in God, and I believe that God is like a feeling.
No, God is not a feeling. God is a...
Your conscience dictates what you do in life, basically, and God works through your conscience to tell you right from wrong and this and that.
Well, that's true. That's a good point, actually. And I oftentimes say that you can see God's eternal power and divine nature because of the universe in which you live. When you see the complexity of the universe, you know there's a universe creator. And as you just pointed out, you also know that there's a God, because God has written his knowledge upon the canvas of our consciousness. In other words, it's part of our DNA. But God is not just a feeling. God is a personal God. He is a real being. The fact that he is a spiritual being does not make him unreal in any sense. And as I mentioned earlier, God is ineffable in the sense that we cannot know God in his essence, but he's also immanent, which is to say that we can know him through his graces. We can know him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So God is personal. We will forever interact with a personal God in eternity. It'll take an eternity and more to ever fully comprehend the God who has saved us by his grace. But Jesus Christ will be as close to you in eternity as the very flesh upon your bones. Even in eternity, you're not going to be a mere feeling or a thought. You're going to be a personal being with a real body and a real metaphysical aspect to your humanity, and you're going to live and grow and develop, albeit without error. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Serena. She's listening in Lakewood, Colorado, KRKS. Hi, Serena.
Hi, Mr. Hanegraaff.
Hi.
Because you're a theological expert about the Bible, can you please, I'm going to just ask two questions, and then I'd like to listen to you on my radio, because I don't hear so well on the phone. Why does the Bible not say anything about whether Jesus nursed at Mary's breasts? And why does the Bible say ashes to ashes, dust to dust, when we didn't come from ashes? We came ever as miracles through our mother's wombs.
Yeah, well, good questions. And I think that the Bible does not contain everything. There are a lot of things that are presumed, and part of what is presumed is that Mary would have nursed Jesus Christ. Whether or not the Bible talks about it, that's a safe assumption for how Jesus Christ was nurtured and fed as an infant. In terms of ashes to ashes or dust to dust, it actually doesn't come from the Bible at all. It comes from the funeral service in the Anglican Book of Common Prayer. And it's not even an actual quote from Scripture, but based on the biblical teaching that you find in various parts throughout Scripture, such as Genesis 3, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Or I remember Abraham saying, I am nothing but dust and ashes, or Job, where he said, he throws me into the mud, and I am reduced to the dust and the ashes. So the dust and ashes phrase, very common, because God created us ex nihilo, and yet we know that we will return to the ground and become dust again, as it were, that we will disintegrate, but that though God will not resuscitate every atom in the resurrection, he will resurrect us immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So there's a DNA that we have that God will restore in eternity. I like what Ecclesiastes says, all go to the same place, all come from the dust, and to the dust all return, but we don't stay there. God will resurrect us, as I said, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That is the hope of the believer. Back to the phone lines. Talk next to Phil. He's listening in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Hank.
Hi.
The question I have a couple questions for you. The first one's on the Genesis 1 account where the light and was created in one day, light and darkness, and then about 3 or 4 days later, we have the sun, moon, and stars being formed. I'm in conversation with a guy who calls himself an atheist, and he says the Genesis account did not get it right. He also has Genesis 1 and 2 not agreeing together. And in the account, is there an answer for this besides the gap theory?
Well, sure. I mean, the whole idea that the days are meant to give some kind of chronology of creation is just wrongheaded thinking. They are to give us a hierarchy of creation culminating in the crowning jewels of God's creation, humankind. So it's not a matter of trying to give us some kind of time frame. First God did this, and it took him 24 hours, and then he did this, it took him another 24 hours, as though it takes God 24 hours to do anything. No, it's a way of remembering during the normal course of everyday living that God is the creator of all things. So the days are literal days. I mean, the text literally says there was morning and there was evening, indicating that the first 3 days of creation were normal solar days encompassing daylight and darkness, but again, not so that we have a chronology of creation, but rather so we understand God's purposes in creation. In terms of the Genesis accounts, they don't contradict one another at all. Yeah, and the first thing that I always point out in this regard is it's highly unlikely that an author would contradict himself within the span of just a few sentences. And even a cursory reading of Genesis chapter 1 and 2 is enough to discern that the author has a different purpose in mind for one than he does for the other. Chapter 1 is a I call it a three-level hierarchy of God's creative prowess. And it's memorably associated, as I said earlier on, with the days of the week. But what chapter 2 focuses on is that man and woman were designed to be in right relationship with both creation and creator. So you always have to remember that the language of the scripture is a heavenly condescension so that we finite human beings can know something of the nature and purposes of an infinite God. It has nothing to do with chronology, has to do with God's purposes. And we typically codify that under the word chirology. So it's not chronology, it's chirology. It's not a time frame, it's God's purposes in creation that are being made manifest to humanity. I have to leave it at that. I've written about this in a couple of places, including the Creation Answer Book, another answer book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Any of my books available for your support of the ministry. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Also, do remember the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine available as a subscription. You can find it on the web, equip.org. We're out of time for this week's editions of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We will, however, be back on Monday. Look forward to answering your questions there. Thanks, everyone, for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Without you, I couldn't do what I do, and the Christian Research Institute couldn't do what it does.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.